Please stand for the reading of the gospel. This is from the book of John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you and be with you forever, to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Grant us understanding and application. Please be seated. You know, John 14, I said it last week. I quote John 14 quite a lot. And it's a very powerful chapter, has a lot of messages in there for you and me. John 14, verse 15 is one that I quote right up at the top with a lot of scriptures. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you love me, you will obey my commandments." You know, and we all tend to say, "Well, I love Jesus, you know, and I do what he tells me." And we think that, you know, coming to church and reading our Bible once in a blue moon and maybe hanging out with some other Christians, maybe going on the mission trip, maybe giving to special causes, we think that that's all there is to it. But there is more to it than that. You know, last week we talked about John chapter 14, verse 22, which Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing." You know, and how awesome is that to think that we can be Jesus to the world, that we can do the things that he did. It's just awesome. But that's what the Word of God says. So today, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, James chapter 2 says that faith without works is dead. So we can't say that we love Jesus, that we have faith in Jesus, that we believe in Jesus, if we're not doing the works, if we're not keeping in the commands, and we're not obeying Jesus. See, the world revolves around Jesus, not around us. So I guess the thing we have to ask ourselves is this: what are Jesus' commands? I've got just a few of them here for you. Just a few. Repent. Repent. You know that thing that you're doing? That feeling, that temptation that you gave into, that anger that you gave into, that thing that you're doing that you know is not in keeping with God, that sinful thing. Jesus says repent, which means it's over here, you're going this way. You're turning 180 degrees and you're walking away from that sinful thing. You are telling God, "I am sorry, I will not do that anymore. It's what I choose. Choose not, I repent of that." Number two, Jesus said to follow him. And when he said to follow him, he meant lock, stock, and barrel. He meant that we had to love him more than we love our wife or husband, children, grandchildren. We've got to love him more than we love life itself. And Jesus said, if you want to be my follower, you've got to pick up your cross daily and follow me. You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Follow me. Another commandment he gave us is to rejoice. To rejoice no matter what's going on in your life. To rejoice. And you know why he told us to rejoice? For one, it gives a great witness to the world that we can rejoice no matter what's going on. Even when the world's falling apart around us, we rejoice. And people say, "How can he do that? How can she do that?" Because they have Jesus. And then they want what we have. And we can rejoice because this world's not our home. Because no matter what we're going through, it's just temporary anyways. Jesus said we should also let our light shine for him in all that we do. You know, no city on the hill can hide its light. We're not to light a candle and then put it under a bushel. But we are to let our lights for Jesus shine. To do what we do, to do our good deeds in the light so that the whole world will give God the glory. Let your light shine for Jesus. People think you're going to be a Christian fanatic? That's okay. That's okay. Be a fool for Christ. Jesus said to be reconciled to others. The Bible says don't come up to the altar. Don't bring a gift to the altar. Don't come up to the altar for communion if you're holding a grudge and you have a problem with somebody else. First, go and be reconciled to them and then come up. See, because when we come up to the altar, we're accepting the fact that God reconciled us to him through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. He did all that for us. He forgave us. He forgave us of our sins. When we deserved death for it, and he forgave us. So we can't go up there and say, well, I'm going to take the gift you're offering me, but I'm not going to do what you told me to do. No, Jesus said, be reconciled. Do not lust, not after anything. And keep your word is another commandment from Jesus. Keep your word. Don't swear by the hair on your head, by your mother's grave, or anything else. Just let your word be yes or no and keep it. Be a person of your word because you're a Christian. And he said, go the second mile. If somebody asks you for help and they want you to go with them a mile, go with them too. If somebody asks you for help, they want your coat, give them your coat, your hat, your gloves. Man, smother people with love. Overcome evil with good. Go the second mile. And that usually calls for sacrifices on our part, but that's what Jesus said to do. Jesus said to love your enemies. Don't stoop down to their level. Do not repay evil with evil. You know, if you want to drive your enemies crazy, you just want to really, let's say that I and Lonnie are our enemies. And I say, how you doing, brother? Man, it's good to see you. God loves you, man. I love you too. Anything I can do to help you, just let me know. I'm praying for you. And he's thinking, oh, that just drives me nuts. I hate that guy, you know. Bible says that I'm heaping coals of fire on his head when I treat him with love and kindness. So Jesus said, forgive your enemies. Jesus said, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, take care of the sick, visit those who are in prison. And if you yourself are not doing it, you need to support somebody who is. Support the church who has that ministry. But we need to be involved in doing that. Jesus also said we are to ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. Work at your... Lost you there for a second, sorry. Ask, seek, and knock. Work at your salvation with trembling. Don't rest on your laurels. What you've done in the past is in the past. We can't say it's good enough. I've been a good enough Christian. I've done enough. Ask, seek, and knock. Continue to seek after the Lord. Continue to seek the heaven of God's heaven first. Seek ye the kingdom first, and all these other things will be added unto you. Ask, seek, and knock. He said, fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. No matter what you're going through, do not be afraid. Because if you're afraid, it means you don't trust me. God says in Philippians 4:19 that I will meet all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. With God, all things are possible. If God be for us, who can be against us? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God's saying, trust in me. I don't break my promises, so don't fear. And then he said, forgive. It goes back to reconcile. It goes back to love your enemies. Forgive. And we say it in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But I can't forgive so-and-so. They hurt my child. They hurt me. They slandered me. They did this. They stole off me, whatever. Yeah, you can choose to forgive them. I got some good news coming up for you. But you can choose to forgive them. Choose forgiveness. Choose to turn the other cheek. Do not repay evil with evil. Repay evil with good. Forgive. He said also to worship. Do not forsake the gathering together. Jesus worshiped all the time, took his disciples to worship, talked about worship. Worshiping is important because it establishes who we are in this world. It establishes in our lives the fact that it's all about Jesus, not about us. We need to worship. And he said to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. Pray about everything. All kinds of prayer. Jesus prayed every day. He prayed far into the night. He prayed up on the mountain. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed and fasted. He prayed in the temple. He was in the temple almost every day. He prayed for people. He prayed with people. Baptize every nation. The Great Commission. Matthew 28. Jesus said, "To go ye therefore into the whole world and baptize every nation in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Well, we're talking about John 14:15. And Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll obey my commandments." And if we're going to baptize every nation and teach them to obey everything that Jesus said, that means they have to love him too. Well, you can't force people to be baptized. If I were to take Barbot, drag her out to the river, and plunge her under the water 3 times and say, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost," and she didn't want to be, she'd say, "It was just water." But if she sees Jesus in me and I talk to her about Jesus and I introduce her to Jesus and she says yes, she repents and she asks Jesus into her heart. Now she loves Jesus. She wants to be baptized. And now she'll learn what Jesus commanded her. And where do you learn what Jesus commanded us? Bible. It's all in the Bible. It's all written down there. That's where we learn what Jesus wants us to do. So that's what it means to be a Christian. And the proof is in the pudding. This is good pudding. This is good pudding. How do you know, Brian, that that's good pudding?
I don't know the answer.
Where's the proof that that's good pudding?
By tasting it.
By tasting it. You got to taste it. The proof is in the pudding. You're a Christian? You love Jesus? The proof is it by what you do. And not just here and there, not just once in a while, but what you do all the time. The proof is in the pudding. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll obey my commandments." That's verse 15. Verse 16, now I'm not going any further than this, okay, but verse 16 begins with the word "and," which connects that verse with the previous one. And he says, "If you love me, you'll obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father to send you another counselor, a helper who will be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth," the Holy Spirit. If we love Jesus, God sends his Holy Spirit to us to help us. Like with the kids, you know, to help them do things. But to help us do what? Everything. To help us to do all those commands that Jesus gave us. All you have to do is love the Lord. Love Jesus. Ask him into your heart. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and helps you to do everything that Jesus has commanded us. Reminds us of everything that Jesus said. Reminds us of everything that Jesus did. Now, it's not like we're without responsibility because we've got to read the Word of God to be reminded of it. And we have no excuse for not reading it because we have plenty of Bibles, we've got an education, and we have people willing to teach us. But that's what it means to be a Christian every day of our lives. There was a little old lady named Ruth. And Ruth, she lived in a little house in a small town, and she had a small check that came in every month. And so she lived a very meager existence. But it was okay with Ruth. She got by. She was a good lady. One day Ruth goes out to the mailbox, like she does every day. She goes out to the mailbox, looks in there, and there was an envelope. And it had her name on it. It simply said Ruth. There was no address, no return address, no forwarding ad, nothing. No stamp, just Ruth. She took the envelope out and she opened it up and took out a letter, and there was a short note on there, and it said, "Dear Ruth, I'm coming to visit you tomorrow. Signed, Jesus." Man, she just like, wow. And she read it again and again and again, and she said, "I can't believe this, but it must be so. I'm so excited. Jesus is coming to see you tomorrow. I've got to get ready." And she dashed into the house, and she looked around in her cupboards and her fridge, and she didn't have much. She had a little bit of leftovers, some stale bread and a few crackers, a couple cookies, a couple cans of vegetables. There were some pickles, not much at all. What was she going to do? She says, I'll go to the store and buy something fit for a king. And so she looked in her purse, and there was only a couple dollars in there, so she broke her piggy bank. There were only a few more dollars in there, but she went to the store anyways. It was a brisk, windy day, but she didn't mind the walk. She was excited, and she went to the store, and she bought some meat and cheese and bread, and she even got a little bit of milk. She thought, this will have to do, and it was all she could afford. And so she took her bundle, and she was headed home. When she got partway home, when she heard somebody calling out, excuse me, ma'am, we need help. And she turned around, and there was a young man and a woman standing there. The young man, he said, this is my wife, and we haven't had anything to eat in a while, and we have no shelter, and we need your help. Could you help us, please? Ooh, they were dirty, and they stunk. And she said, you know, I don't have any money. I just spent everything I had. She goes, I'm sorry. And they said, well, that's okay. If you had something to eat, anything to eat, would be. She goes, I'm sorry, but I have important company coming tomorrow. I don't have anything to share with you. And they said, that's all right, we understand. And she turned around to walk away, and she heard somebody crying, and she looked back, and the man was hugging his wife, and she was crying, making faces. Are you losing me here? Sound okay? All right, but it turned down. All right. So she was crying. So the woman, her heart broke, and Ruth went back there, and she gave them her bag of groceries. And she took her coat off and she put it around the woman's shoulders and she says, here, you need this more than I do. I've got another coat at home. And they thanked her profusely and she went her way. She thought, I'll figure something out, you know. But she felt good. And so she got home and she cleaned the house and put out her best stuff and she went to bed all excited that night. The next day she got up, looked around, everything was just perfect. She knew she was going to have to use every scrap of leftover food that she had, but it would have to do. So she went out to the mailbox to get her mail as usual, and there was another envelope inside there with her name on it, just her name, Ruth. And she opened it up, and it said, Dear Ruth, it was nice visiting with you yesterday. I really appreciated the food and the coat. Love you, Jesus. Loving Jesus and obeying his commands is in the everyday things that we do. Matthew 25 says, that which we do unto the least of these, you do unto me, Jesus said. So, obeying his commands, yep, they're in the Bible. We should study it, learn what they are. We should ask the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us and direct us, so that in our relationships with each other, with our family, with our neighbors, co-workers, with the stranger on the street, we can be a reflection of Jesus Christ in everything that we do. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to love Jesus. God loves you, and so do I.